You are listening to the Delay and Pray podcast, episode number 72.
Welcome to the Delay and Pray podcast, where certified Catholic and weight loss coach Beth Bubick teaches you how to permanently lose weight through spiritual fasting. Get ready to gain faith and lose weight through a joyful transformation of both body and soul. Now, your host, Beth, the Catholic Fasting Coach.
Hallelujah! Lent is over and the Easter season has arrived. Lent was so interesting this year as I traveled quite a bit and I had many weekends of celebration due to anniversaries, Purdue home basketball games, birthdays, and visiting grandchildren. I was also very busy finishing up my book and planning a book launch, so it was seriously probably the most busy, joyful Lent ever in my life. But here's the thing. It was still really profound. It was meaningful and so, so good. And I'm going to tell you all about it. Since I know that God is in everything, He was really working within me and my circumstances to foster a lot of joy in all the moments of Lent. And I was able to keep fasting and praying too, even though a little bit imperfectly. So I didn't discover this whole notion of joy until just this week at the very end of Lent. The joy is definitely coming from many things, but my favorite thing that sparked that joy is from performing a do-it-yourself retreat in preparation for Marian consecration. I am using the book by Father Michael Gately titled 33 Days to Morning Glory. You know how I love Mary, the Mother of God. Well, she is my everything and always leads me to her son Jesus and her spouse, the Holy Spirit. This book is fabulous, and I planned my retreat to end on the nearest Marian feast day as prescribed in Father Gately's book. The date of that feast day just happened to be Monday, April 8th on the Feast of the Annunciation. Well, that is the actual name of my parish church, is St. Mary's of the Annunciation. So I was like, oh, that is a fabulous feast day. What I have learned since beginning the consecration prep is that that day is also the day after Divine Mercy Sunday, which I love, and I'm going to talk about that a little later. It also coincides with the date of the total eclipse of the sun that will pass through our region of the United States, and it is the date of the men's college basketball national championship. Don't laugh here. I know that that doesn't really mean a lot, but listen, God is in all things. That's one thing I know, and He meets us where we're at. And that little date is in my heart as well as the other things, just a tiny bit. The other things are big. So I debated throwing that basketball date in there, but you know, it truly is really important to me. So in all transparency, I'm going to mention it because I think it's cool that all of these are coinciding on one date. Okay. Well, here's a quick summary of the Holy Spirit working on my behalf on this date. This is the day I consecrate myself to the Blessed Mother. Why is it that I waited so long to do this? I have no idea, but the timing here for me is perfect. God's timing is always perfect. So how amazing are all those things just coming together on this feast day? God is so generous. I believe He has something for us on this date. Some people are saying that this day is going to be like a day like no other. We'll have to pray, wait, and see, of course, but I suggest that you look into this feast day and the total eclipse and see what they are saying out there on YouTube with all of the Catholic influencers. It's really interesting, and I think it's quite divine. So back to my past Lent. This Lent was just a little more joyful of a walk into the desert 7 weeks ago than normal. I still fasted for Jesus with the goal of delaying sugar, flour, and alcohol through most Saturday nights and Sundays, but I also planned in times to eat all those things on the weekends and during the week on occasion, depending on my traveling and being with my children and grandchildren. It worked out beautifully. My Lent was still filled with prayer and sacrifice and lots of love and friendship as well, but it just contained this overall feeling of joy. And I want to tell you, I believe it came from the Marian consecration preparation. And I just suggest it to everyone when it's time. I set my heart on abstaining from meat, of course, on Wednesdays and Fridays, and I was successful at that. And that is not hard for me. It just takes planning and time. And then I amped up my prayer life. I attended weekly adoration of the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament and daily Mass most of the weeks. but I didn't always make those daily masses due to travel. But I also failed in a few other things as well, depending on my circumstances. But I always remained compassionate with myself. As I remained compassionate with myself, I found that I was able to be more compassionate with others. And I think this is how the Lord deals with us. I created my food protocols, I journaled, and I got coached often. I really did have a perfectly imperfect Lent. And you know how important thoughts are to me, because thoughts create your results, and we know that. That was really my overarching thought for this Lent. It was, I really am having a perfectly imperfect Lent. Now, this helped me keep fasting most of the time. My Lent was filled with a little hunger, and I was making some extra physical space for the Holy Spirit to do his ominous work there, and he did. But be assured of this, even if you do not have a perfect Lent, it's okay. Perfect doesn't matter with Christ. Being perfectly imperfect does, because our intentions count, especially if they're from your heart, and especially if your Lent is out of the normal pattern. In other words, you're traveling, you're doing things in your life that you normally don't do, or even I've had some clients that are sick. And so all of those things might bring about an imperfect Lent, and that's okay. I did try to keep my abstention from sugar, flour, and alcohol on all Fridays, and I did that. And I was able to get in a few days of bread and water, but not like I wanted to, and that's okay. I really just wasn't as strict with myself as I usually am. But looking back at the past 5 Lents since I started spiritual fasting, I can truly see my progress throughout each Lent as I was trying to give up all that sugar, flour, and alcohol all the way through the 7 weeks for the conversion of my family. And this year, all catechumens coming into the church, because my daughter's boyfriend this year came into the church, and that was a really special intention for me that I haven't really embraced before. But this year, I really did, and it felt so good. I was also fasting for reparation for the whole world according to the Blessed Virgin Mary's intentions, which I know she asks us to do. So through all of this, I definitely drew closer to Christ in the Eucharist. It wasn't perfect. It was rather a nunc chaepe type of Lent where I just, you know, I kept falling and just getting back up in gentle repentance. I did stay snugged right up under that cross with him in most circumstances. But again, I did occasionally fall, which, you know, was more unusual than the past Lents. But I'm only human, as you are. And yes, every once in a while, you know, you're going to fall. This Lent filled with joy had me sneaking in an unplanned drink every once in a while, a bowl of ice cream on a Sunday, little things that I normally didn't do, but it was still great. I'm telling you, not bad, not bad. I've just learned to just be compassionate with myself, and I hope you can do that as well, because when you're compassionate with yourself, you're going to find out that you're more merciful to others. And I think this is really what makes the most beautiful Lent. When you decide to unite with Jesus under that cross, as long as you can, it matters. It matters. This is perseverance, and this is how he perfects us through our perseverance. This is the place where you carry your suffering and discomfort to the cross of Jesus. This is the place where he lessens it, and then you lessen his suffering too. This is a courageous place to be, my friends, and I hope you did this no matter what. Please don't take your Lent and give it an A or an F. It's probably somewhere in between. And that's really important to understand, that sometimes a B minus or a C because of your circumstances is just perfectly fine. You passed. So even though I fell down a few times, Jesus and Mary helped me get up every time. And I literally envisioned it in my heart and in my mind. There is no perfect under the cross of Jesus. There is just you and me trying to figure it all out with him by our side. He loves our weakness. He can heal us there. I know I say this all the time, but he really does. We can be strong through our weaknesses if we're humble about it. And Our Lady, well, she's our best support, and she shows me the way for sure. Lent is important. Just taking the time to meditate on Jesus and his passion and thank him for all he does for us by offering him small sacrifices throughout the day, this is what matters most. God honors all our suffering. He is so gracious and giving and so pleased with our efforts. Think of all the people who don't even think of fasting during Lent. They don't even think of offering something up. But we did, and that is a victory we can claim right now. Okay. And then Easter comes, right? And we feast in celebration of the Lord's resurrection to new life. We get our reward of good food and drink and the new hope of our eternal reward of heaven one day. Well, I'm feasting on a lot of things other than food this Easter octave, and I hope you are too. But one of the biggest things is I am feasting this year on the fact that my book is done and will be on sale this month. This is a huge accomplishment for me and for my publisher. Oh my gosh, we've done it. How exciting is that? Can you feast on something other than food? You bet. So I know I've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. Feasting is not just eating and drinking everything you want on Easter Sunday. It is so much more than that. Now, I'm not a theologian, but this is my take on feasting, and I have researched this quite a bit, and it's exciting. If you're listening to this podcast right after Lent, then it's a time of feasting, not just on Easter Sunday, but really all week long. It's called the Easter Octave, the 8 days from Easter to Divine Mercy Sunday. Before my life of dedicated spiritual fasting, I really didn't partake in the Easter Octave. All I knew is that Lent was over, Easter Sunday kind of came and went, and then I could eat and drink again on the weekends and sort of go back to my normal life. But now I do understand feasting. I do understand octaves, and they are amazing. Feasting is for feast days, and octaves in the Catholic Church are for celebrating for a complete 8 straight days. Oh my gosh, do not miss these beautiful times, and teach your families all about them as well. So let's kind of review about the octaves again. During the Easter octave, each day is celebrated as a little Easter. There is no need for fasting or delaying of any kind during these 8 days after Easter. I found a great book last year by Bernard Strasser called With Christ Through the Year. And he says this, an octave means an 8-day celebration, that is, the prolongation of a feast to the 8th day. The feast itself is considered the first day, and it is followed by 6 days called days within the octave. The 8th or octave day is kept with greater solemnity than the days within the octave. Of course, that just totally makes sense. So there are 2 octaves during the liturgical year in the Catholic Church. These are Christmas and Easter. And we have reached the Easter octave if you're listening right after Easter to this podcast when it was published. This is the greatest week of the church year where Christ is risen. He suffered and died for us last week, and now he is risen. Jesus has conquered death and sin for all of us by his very death and resurrection. So we celebrate for 8 straight days, ending in the great feast of Divine Mercy. Now, some people say that Divine Mercy is almost greater than the Easter feast. Oh my goodness. If you don't know about Divine Mercy, please look it up and start getting involved in Divine Mercy Sunday. It's amazing. It's changed my life. And I will do another podcast later on that feast. It's very powerful. I hope you're saying the Divine Mercy Novena at this time during the Easter octave. It is something to check out for sure if you are not. Okay, back to the Easter octave. The long stretch of Lent where we delayed and prayed, that is where we were just trying so hard to suffer with Jesus, undertaking some redemptive suffering on our own part in preparation for our own hearts and minds to meet Christ at the cross. And we did it. Even if it was imperfect, we did it. So now we have a cause for celebration this week because Christ died for us, and all we need to do is claim that victory in love, like I said before. So again, quoting the Christ Through the Year book, he says this, Easter week is the antithesis of Holy Week. Since the resurrection was the most significant event in the life of our Lord, where he made his divinity known to the entire world, Easter is the highest Sunday and Easter week, the great week of the entire church year. So no other feast is ever celebrated during this week. Okay, so that explains why the Feast of the Annunciation was moved because it's usually on March 25th, but that was during Lent. So that's why the Feast of the Annunciation was moved to Monday, April 8th this year, out of Holy Week and past the Easter octave. Okay, so this is a divine appointment that Lent actually fell on the calendar when it did this year, so that the Feast of the Annunciation had to be moved to the date of the total eclipse of the sun and my consecration date to Mary. So, oh my, I'm in like awe of all of this. It's so exciting. And I can't wait for that day. I can't wait because I think Mary just might have a little message for us on that day. Now, I have seen the total eclipse a few years ago, but I'm going to see it again on that day. I'm going to see it again. I'm going to have my consecration to Mary on that day. and it's going to be the Feast of the Annunciation. All of these things coming together and possibly Purdue in the national championship game. So we'll have to see. When I'm recording this, they're not there yet. So we'll have to see. So the question is, how do we celebrate all this? You hear my joy. You can hear my excitement. So what am I going to do? Well, I've mentioned this before, but it is worth repeating. So the definition of a feast or feasting is to dwell with gratification or delight. It's a rich or abundant meal, something highly agreeable that brings you joy, and eating in a splendid, opulent, and magnificent manner. Okay, this does not sound like the McDonald's drive-thru. It doesn't sound like gluttony. No. It doesn't sound like processed food either, because processed food is not healthy for your body or your soul. So here's what I'd like to celebrate with. I like a juicy steak, if we're talking about food, with a baked potato and a glass of wine and one of my favorite salads filled with the best, most healthy ingredients. So if we're talking about food, this is what brings me gratification and delight. These things are highly agreeable to me, highly agreeable to my body, and splendid for my soul as well. And then I strive to eat just enough to glorify God in my celebration. So this is my plan for eating for the octave after Easter, is really good, healthy, yummy food. So one thing I forgot to mention was the Easter vigil this year. So significant in our family's lives this year. Still keeping the definitions in mind of feast and feasting and glorifying God with my thoughts, words, and actions, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Easter Vigil, which again is just like Easter. It's the highest solemnity. And it was the greatest feast day where we celebrated the Mass and Eucharist of my daughter's boyfriend becoming Catholic as he was baptized on this holy night and came into the Catholic Church. Oh my goodness, how beautiful it was. What a celebration for our family this Easter season. You know, if you think about it, this man, he loved her enough to come into the Catholic Church, not just for her and their future relationship, but for him and his relationship with Jesus. It was beautiful. I have been praying and fasting for him. He didn't know it, and I didn't know him, but we have been praying and fasting for him since my daughter Alyssa was little. God provided, he always does. So I hope their relationship is just blessed by this beautiful coming into the church and this action of the Holy Spirit. All right. So then after that holy night, we feasted. A party afterwards until midnight. And then the next day, Easter brunch with salads and protein, tasty desserts, coffee, glasses of bubbly. I mean, it was fun. We were out of town, so we weren't home for our normal family party, but we celebrated just as well, just as much. This is definitely the day that I feasted on delicious food, but I was also just feasting on Thanksgiving and connection and love and friendship with my family. And of course, this awesome step of this guy to be admitted into the Catholic Church, just for his life and also for my daughter's as well. I am so grateful to God for that. It was absolutely beautiful. All these things make Easter truly a time of celebration. It's way more than food. And that's my point here. It's way more. We can choose to overindulge on love and gratitude rather than food and alcohol. It's a mindset shift in the direction of the Holy Spirit. It really is. And then the celebration just gets to continue for a whole week. We need not delay sugar, flour, and alcohol during the Easter octave, of course, but be careful and make good, virtuous plans, because we wouldn't want to just drop into gluttony either, or sloth. I mean, there's a huge difference, right? So after a few years of figuring this out, you know, I always allow myself to eat a small amount of sugar, flour, or alcohol every day of the octave, but I only allow myself just one of the substances per day so that I am not increasing the insulin in my bloodstream too much. So no overindulging on ice cream and cake or drinking every night. No way, because that doesn't work for my body or my soul. When I overeat or overdrink now, I physically feel horrible. And I don't want to bring old habits back either that I've worked so hard to improve. And so I just let my hair down a little bit, and a little goes a long way. It feels good and celebratory at the same time. I'm talking about eating to enough, consuming sugar, flour, and alcohol in small quantities, intermittent fasting, and dining in with Jesus. All of these things are the ticket to food freedom. And we know that virtue is practiced in the moderation. And so that's the place where I want to go. So there's another side to this as well, and that is sacraments, activities, and connection. Huge, huge part in feasting. So don't forget about these things. Just like we created a Lenten plan to stay on track, just like I journal and create plans, and protocols for my life, we need a feasting plan during these octaves that allows us to treat our body and soul as gift so that we learn to celebrate the sacraments first and foremost. So going to daily mass and celebrating the Eucharist during the octave in true Thanksgiving and celebration, that is huge. That is something that we should all should do, attending adoration as much as possible, because He, our Lord Jesus, is our greatest feast. Take in the wondrous scriptures of the Acts of the Apostles at this time. This is a great idea. During the Triduum, we saw Peter in despair. He was weeping in sorrow and full of fear. And I love the story of Peter. I always get into it during Holy Week. But here, during this Easter octave that we're in, we see his transformation in Christ. He's like strong and fearless. I think of him as like transfigured, just like the fourth luminous mystery, the transfiguration. He's now like a preacher of Christ and sharer of the good news. During the octave, we can join Peter and do the same with renewed vigor and love of God. We could be fearless. We could be transfigured, transformed. We can focus on healing others through our love of God. I think that is where we should feast. When it comes to food, as I've said before, cook amazing meals that are appealing and satisfying to your taste buds. Savory salads and meals that you would not normally have during the week. You can eat sugar, flour, alcohol in small amounts without overeating. Again, this is called eating to enough. You know, one of the things I love is shrimp. So I'm going to actually be baking really good fish. I'm going to make shrimp. It's all on my 7-day meal plan. If you haven't downloaded that, like some of these recipes I have are just scrumptious, but they don't involve sugar. They don't involve flour. And obviously they don't have alcohol in it, but you can see you can make a wonderful, wonderful meal without those things. So again, we want to eat to enough because overeating is a gluttonous habit and it's hard to slay. So we don't want to bring that back during these octaves for sure. The other thing I want to do is plan some fun activities and savor the connection with my loved ones. So of course, I'm going to try to fit in some pickleball and maybe start getting on my golf swing for the summer. Just taking long walks with friends and family, visiting others, bringing joy and goodies to them during the octave. What an amazing thing that would be. What about also moving your body? So making sure that I'm working out, making sure that I'm actually staying on my exercise plan. This is not only good for my body, but my mind as well. So I'm going to use this time to celebrate this amazing life through honoring the temple of the Holy Spirit, my body. The other thing we can do is learn about and apply knowledge of the body-soul composite. So YouTube videos, what's out there talking about our souls, learning more about this solar eclipse and how it's coinciding with the Feast of the Annunciation, just learning more about that, making plans to make sure that I am taking part in that in any way. Our hearts are really designed to know the good, the true, and the beautiful. So maybe what we do is we search these things out this week and look for great peace within all of this knowledge. So we can kind of start that search this week. The other thing we can do is lean into the wisdom of the church and also do some research into what she is talking about, trying to be as obedient as we can to the laws of the church that in her wisdom have actually structured a life of the highest good for all of us. This would actually include abstaining from meat on all Fridays of the year. This is a great start. Now, it's not needed during the octave, but if you haven't been abstaining from meat on all Fridays, this would be a good time to do some research into that and really lean into that this year. I mean, this, my friends, all of this is true feasting. So feasting on all of life and going out and spreading the good news of the gospel, just like the apostles, this is what the Easter octave is for. He wants to glow and flow through all of us. This can be done through spiritual fasting. And it can be done by delaying sugar, flour, and alcohol to the weekends and to feast days and to octaves, right? So let him flow through you in celebration during this Easter octave. And if you've been overeating and overdrinking for a long time, well, it's going to take some effort and time to shift over to wholeness. It's challenging, but it's doable. If it wasn't challenging, then demons would not be cast out with the effort here. This is what I always say. Remember, all things are possible with God. Pray that scripture over your life. That's from Matthew 19:26. And this is my prayer throughout the day as I delay and pray. I'm always saying that. Everything's possible with God. The Father is always working. I'm always speaking scripture over my life. With spiritual fasting, we literally can think of our food and drink as gift. They really are good substances, especially when taken in moderation. We can announce the truth that food is good. It sustains us. It gives us life. But the best example of this is the Eucharist. God chose the appearance of wine and wheat to be his body and blood. That's how important food is. We feast on his body and blood. every day if we want to. He is our greatest feast. If you need help with this, grab my new book coming out this month called Delay and Pray. I think you can remember that. It will be available soon. And then after you read that, if you want to jump into the Delay and Pray group coaching experience to gain even more results, then that is your follow-up. Yes, it all announces and sanctifies the beauty and truth of ordered food, and it helps us create space for the Lord to dwell day after day. It helps you be hungry for Him instead of sugar. It teaches you not only to fast, but to feast, and all the Lents start getting deeper every year, and the Easters just become better. There is no end. It just sort of begins again every year. So my goal is for 1 million Catholics to be returning to the church through spiritual fasting. I can tell you, God is definitely increasing within me, and I have only just begun to decrease and heal. I have so much more for you to learn. As the scripture states in John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. There really is no end. Enough really is as good as a feast. Trading chocolate cake for blueberries is a feast. And feasting can be ultimate nourishment for both body and soul. Trading Netflix for activity, connection to others, and the sacraments is also feasting and ultimate nourishment, again, for body and soul. So this year, try redefining fasting and feasting for yourself. Your life will change immensely. And don't forget to pay attention to Monday, April 8th, the Feast of the Annunciation. I am hoping the Blessed Virgin Mary has a beautiful and significant message for all of us that day. And if you want to learn more about the unfolding of faith during the Easter season, I've posted a link to the amazing article that I referenced for this podcast about the Easter octaves and also the book references there too. It's all in the show notes. If you want to get going on spiritual fasting and learn how to eat, fast, and feast all year round, start losing that weight permanently, growing in your faith, and saving souls of others, then don't be afraid to join the Delay and Pray group coaching experience waitlist. My course starts 4 or 5 times a year. Get on the waitlist and get in there with us. It is worth every precious penny that you spend and every minute of your precious time. Remember, it's time to invest in yourself. And the money you spend, you will make up with food. You're not buying the food. You're not going out as much. And you are just becoming closer to the Lord. It literally pays for itself. So I hope to see you in there. Happy Easter Octave, everyone. Thank you for listening. And I will see you next week. If you found this podcast useful, please subscribe to it and leave a 5-star review so others will hear the great message of spiritual fasting and how to feast. The last thing we want to do is go back to our old habits of Lent. Oh no! The goal is to celebrate the risen Christ and our virtuous win over vice as well. Have a great week, my friends, and I will talk to you next time. May God bless you and keep you always. If you are interested in learning more about spiritual fasting and permanent weight loss, then come join my course, Delay and Pray, a guided course for weight loss through spiritual fasting. You won't go through it alone either. I will be there to coach you every step of the way. This is a group coaching program where you are part of an amazing community of like-minded Catholics who have the same goal as you, to bring about miracles while losing that weight permanently through spiritual fasting. Your purchase includes an online course detailing what spiritual fasting is, how to do it, and all the tools you need to get you the results you're longing for. Head over to my website right now at thecatholicfastingcoach.com and get the details on how to join. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and LinkedIn to always get the latest daily information to help you keep fasting, my friends. Can't wait to see you in there. May God bless you and keep you always.